Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Take out your Bible and something to take notes with. We're a teaching church. I'm a pastor teacher. That's my gift. And we're here to learn today, not just to have church, but we're here to learn. Amen. I grew up with church, but I want to learn something when I go to church. Amen. We're in a series called Why Pray? Why Pray? And as your pastor who loves you, I want to help you and teach you how to pray. You see, Pastor, I've been in this a long time. I know everything there is to know about prayer. Well, you don't know about pride. You know, I've been in it a long time too, and I've got a lot to learn about prayer. Seriously, God has given me revelation after revelation after revelation. It's just amazing. And so I just ask you to put on your thinking hat right now and open your heart. Let God speak to you through his word. But let's go to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Why pray? Prayer, let me define it if you're with us for the first time. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is fellowship with God. Prayer is partnering with God. There are things God can never do until someone partners with him and prays. Prayer is giving God room to move. Prayer releases the presence of God in our life. Prayer moves the kingdom of God forward. Prayer causes the will of God to come to pass in our life. Prayer should be priority in the life of a believer, spiritual discipline, prayer. The Bible talks about prayerlessness. Did you know that prayerlessness is a sin? It really is. And why should we pray? Because Jesus commanded us to pray. And the Bible says those who know to do right and don't do it, it's called sin. So prayerlessness is sin. The devil doesn't want us to pray, commune, fellowship. Prayer is walking with God. Prayer is, real Bible prayer, is agreeing with God and walking with God. You know, Pastor Kim and I were in this thing of how many steps you walk every day. Anybody doing that? That's kind of a trend right now. Six of you are healthy, praise the Lord. I mean, you should start counting your steps, bless your heart. That's a big thing right now, you know, has been for a long time. And you go, if you go 8 to 10,000 steps a day, it's supposed to help you live longer and be healthier. We're all for that, amen. So Daniel, Stephen, and I, as you know, we do CrossFit workout in Daniel's gym. It's an hour and a half, sometimes 2-hour workout. Then I'll go home, and Pastor Kim wants to walk. And she says, I've only got 6,000 steps in. We got to hit 10,000. Let's go for a walk. Yes, dear. Okay. So I get the weighted vest on, and I got my walking tennis shoes on, and Pastor Kim's got her garb on, all this stuff. And so we start walking out there at our house, and I just take off because I got this walk she calls mall walk. Do any of you guys know what a mall walk is? That's when you go to the mall and you walk as fast as you can to get her in and get her out. So we're walking, and she says, whoa, Dave, you're in your mall walk. You're way out there in front of me. We're supposed to be walking together. Come on back. So I walk on back, and I get with her so that I'm walking with her, not in front of her, not behind her, but in pace with her. Prayer is walking with God. Prayer keeps us, instead of getting in front of God, or behind God. Prayer is walking with God. Prayer is in agreement with God. Prayer is fellowship with God. Prayer is priority because he commanded us to pray. He didn't say, if you ever pray. He said, when you pray, when you pray. So we're commanded to pray. You see, Pastor, I don't like to pray. Can I show you how to begin to like to pray? Fellowship with him. Just begin to walk with him. Just begin to spend time with Jesus, and you'll want to spend more time with him. Because, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So Meredith Hickey used to say, just try it, you'll like it. Just start praying, and you'll begin to expand your prayer life. So if y'all just start fellowshipping with the Lord, then communion comes natural. Wanting to be with him begins to be natural. It's not a duty, it's a desire. You just want to be with him because he makes you feel good. You come away better from his presence. Things fall off. Things change. Solutions come. Answers to problems. Healing comes. Soundness comes. Breakthrough comes. You just want to be with him. Just start walking with him. Just start fellowshipping with him. Just make a covenant of 15 minutes a day. Just make a covenant of 15 minutes a day. Say, covenant of 15 minutes a day. I can start there. Amen. So prayer is important. Without it, God can't do what he wants to do in our life. Prayer gives God permission. Prayer gives God room. Prayer is priority for a believer. So let's look at this. Before we get into it, though, one more thing. I want to share it with you. I Googled, can you believe it? Aren't you proud of me? I Googled what prayer does to your brain. What prayer does to your brain. I just Googled it, and there's all kinds of information. Go home and try it. Well, one came up from a Wisconsin university of a doctor that did there in research on how prayer affects the human brain. And on that particular bit of information, there were seven things they listed. And the first thing was that prayer affects the part of the brain where we imagine. So prayer should make you think bigger if it's the right kind of prayer. Prayer shouldn't be a drudgery. Prayer should be a delight. And according to their research, prayer affects the part of the brain where you dream, where you imagine. Wow. I think we need our imagination sanctified. I'm going to come over here. I think we need it sanctified, spiritualized, if that's a word. I think we need to think like God thinks and think big and believe big that our best days are ahead. Rearview mirror small, windshield's big. That's for a reason. You're not to go back. You're to go forward. They said that prayer affects the brain also in the area of focus. Focus. Have you found out there's so many disruptions in our life today with social media? And it's hard to focus. They tell us right now that one of the needs for men is they have no direction. That men today have no direction for their life. That's why they go into pornography or some kind of drug addiction or alcoholism or workaholic or whatever. They do something because they're trying to find direction. They have no focus or direction for their life. Well, prayer will bring clarity. Prayer will bring clarity. Prayer will bring direction. According to their research, it'll bring focus. Number three, it said that prayer affects the brain in the area of our moods, our emotions. It said that prayer will cause somebody who's moody. And by the way, family, you do not want to be moody because moody people are not good leaders. Moody parents create dysfunctional children. Moody employees never get promoted to supervise. You don't want to be moody. You don't want to be up and down. You want to be consistent and stable. And so prayer, according to Wisconsin University and their research, prayer helps us to be stable in our emotions. Boy, that right there is enough to want to learn how to pray. They went on to say, number four of the seven, Wisconsin University, and the doctor's name was Andrew Newberg. He said that prayer will build your resilience, mental toughness, resilience. People who pray and have a prayer life and a method and a plan and a pattern don't quit easily. They don't give up easily. And when they get knocked down, and we all get knocked down, they rise back up quickly. Prayer builds your resilience, helps you stand, we would call it, right? After doing all, stand for your marriage, your ministry, your career, your job, your business, your children, tomorrow, your health, resilience. They went on to say that prayer affects the brain it lowers your cortisol and it increases your dopamine. That's powerful. That prayer reduces stress. It reduces stress. We won't be so stressed out, freaked out, and react improperly. It said that prayer helps your mental health. It helps your mental health. And this is according to them. Last but not least, they said prayer affects the part of the brain that you won't feel lonely. It removes loneliness. Those of you that are looking for a mate and you're single, don't be quick. Don't be quick. Let God be who you need to have right now. Let God be the one. Oh, I'm going to get married, Pastor, and then I'll be happy. Can we counsel after service today? 52 years of marriage. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Honolulu, jalapeno, Hawaii. Glory to God. Whatever. Praise God. All right. So you ready to get in the Word now? Let's get in the Word. So this is Jesus. This is the Lord's Prayer. This is the model prayer. But let me help you right up front that this prayer, you don't pray this prayer over and over again. Remember, in Matthew 6, he said, don't be repeating words, just words. He said, that's the wrong way to pray. So the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, we can pray it, but basically you can pray that in a minute and you're done. So what are you going to do? No, what this is it's a model prayer that has 10 subjects in it, has 10 topics. The first five are for God. The last five are for you and me. Notice God comes before you and me. Well, we're working on our sound system. You all pray for it. If God comes before you and me. The Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, there are 10 topics, 10 subjects, and what we're to do is make sure that when you pray, you include these subjects. You can take off and pray 5 minutes on one, 10 minutes on one, a half hour on one, and pray in the Spirit. You know, pray specifically in the Spirit over that one subject. But the first five are for God, and the last five are for you and me. Okay? So that's huge. So let's look at it. Now, it came to pass, he was praying in a certain place. And when he stopped, the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Family, they never asked him to teach us how to communicate or how to be a leader. But the only thing they asked him was teach us how to pray. So why don't we pray that? Let's all say it together. Jesus, teach me how to pray. Wow. Teach me how to pray. And so he's going to do that. Next verse, verse 2. So he said to them, when you pray, and that's what I said about prayerlessness is a sin, because that's disobedient to Jesus, because he said, not if, but when you pray. So we should have a prayer life, a prayer plan, a prayer method, a prayer pattern. It should be a spiritual habit that every day we have a little talk with Jesus. Call him up. He's on the main line, right? Jeremiah 33:3 is God's phone number. Did you know that? Jeremiah 33:3, that's the password. He said, call unto me, and I will show you things you have never seen before. Wow. So when you pray, say this, Our Father. So prayer, for it to be really working in my life, it's built not on a formula, but it's built on my relationship with the Father. For prayer to be exciting, it can't be a formula. It has to be a relationship with the Father. So we looked at that. You can go back over our last three teachings. You can go to our phone app, check it out. But we're to have a relationship with the Father. Remember, the first five are for God. The last five are for us. We put God first. We seek first the kingdom, and then everything you need for your marriage, ministry, job, career, finances, health, he'll give to you. What a good God we serve. Now don't anybody get mad, because I love everybody, okay? Don't say, I love my pastor. Now, you got to go to heaven, okay? I love my pastor. But just notice with me, our Father, that's who we pray to in the name of Jesus. Well, we know that, Pastor. Okay, we don't pray to dead people. We don't pray to dead saints. I got a witness over here. I'm working on y'all over here. I love everybody. I just want to pray correctly. And so right there, this is what Jesus taught us how to pray. Say it with me. Jesus, teach me how to pray. And so then he said, this is what you do. Our Father. It doesn't say pray to a dead saint or the mother of Jesus, Mary. Now, we honor all of them. We honor all of them. We honor all of them. But we're not to pray to them. We're to pray to the Father, and then notice, in heaven. So let me extract that real quick. This is called expository teaching. In heaven. So when I pray, I'm to have a heavenly mindset. When we pray, Colossians 3:1, set your mind not on what you're going to do after church, not what you're going to do next week, not what went on this morning, but when you pray, set your mind on things that are above. That's our mind on heaven. When's the last time you just spent time thinking about heaven? Or can I break it down? Having an eternal mindset. Family, I'm 72. These 70 years here, 80 years here, 90, 100 is the shortest span we'll ever see. Because eternity is ahead of us. Eternity is ahead of us. So we should be thinking more about the next life, the next world, than this world. And what I do in this world determines my role in heaven. What I do in this world determines my responsibility in heaven. What I do in this world determines my reward in heaven. So when you pray, you're to pray with an eternal mindset. Or can I say it this way? We're to pray with urgency and intensity. We're to pray with urgency and intensity. A lukewarm prayer doesn't work. A distracted prayer or a lazy prayer doesn't move mountains. We're to have urgency and intensity. Urgency and intensity. We're to have our mindset on heaven. We're to have an eternal mindset. What is my role here? What is my race here? What is my assignment here? What is God's purpose for me? What is the will of God for me? And I want to go all the way in for God because I know what I'm doing now. I'm storing up treasure in heaven. Are you with me, family? This is really huge. You do know there are three heavens. The Apostle Paul said that he went to the third heaven. So there's three heavens. The first heaven is the atmosphere. The second heaven is space. And the third heaven is where God lives. God is in heaven. He's not on the earth. God, where is God? In heaven. He's not on the earth. Jesus is not on the earth. Jesus is in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's working on your mansion, right? Okay. Who's on earth? The Holy Spirit, your paraclete, your partner, your counselor, your advocate, your strengthener, your standby. The Holy Spirit is inside a believer. He's inside a believer. The Holy Spirit is the only one of the Trinity on the planet. The Bible says right here, God the Father is in heaven. The Bible says in Ephesians, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. The only one of the Trinity on the earth is the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to have a relationship and fellowship and good morning, Holy Spirit, and come, Holy Spirit, and manifest yourself, Holy Spirit, and what do you want me to do today, Holy Spirit, and help me, Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher of the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon, to walk up to his pulpit in his church, there were 16 steps. He counted his steps back then too, didn't he? There's 16 steps. And if you look at the old churches of yesterday, they were high and lifted up in the sanctuary because the word was to be exalted above everything else. And history says that Charles Spurgeon, that when he would walk every step, 16 steps to his pulpit, he said the same thing. He said this, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I believe in the 16 steps, 16 times before he got in the pulpit and taught the word. Whoa. So it's real important then that you and I understand that when we're going to have a prayer that works, we have to have an eternal mindset. We've got to have our mindset on things above. You need to be thinking of heaven, because the opposite you don't want to think about, that's hell. And I know people don't like this, but they don't know their Bible. Hell is in the center of the earth. Where did you get that? Bible. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that of things in heaven, on earth, and in the middle of the earth, the name of Jesus is above all other names. Hell is in the middle of the earth. They say it's 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's hot. Can I say it's hotter than hell? There. And you don't want to go there. It's a real place. And there are people there right now. So you want to have an eternity mindset. And then he said, hallowed be your name. So we looked at that. The names of God reveal who God is. And we know he's Jehovah. Rapha, Shalom, and Nisi, and Tiskenu. Your kingdom come. So his kingdom. Remember, the first five things are God. The last five things, us. God's got to come before me. It can't be, gimme. My name is Jimmy. It's got to be worship and praise and quietness and be still and know that he's God. It's got to pause. I've got to pause and I got to position myself to even hear from God. Notice that we're building a relationship with God by focusing on who he is and listening to him before we ever petition, before we ever ask for a need. Whoa. Right priorities in prayer. It said, your kingdom come, your will be done, not my will, your will. Notice God's will won't be done until somebody prays. On earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Family, do you see something? Earth comes before heaven. Do y'all see that? On earth as it is in heaven. Well, big deal, Pastor. It is a big deal. Heaven's waiting on earth. Heaven's waiting on you. You take the initiative. Back when Jacob in the Old Testament, the pillar that he was laying on, and he had the dream and all that happened with his hip, it said he saw a ladder and he saw angels ascending and descending. Watch, he saw angels ascending from earth to heaven and descending from heaven to earth. Heaven's waiting on earth. Heaven's waiting on you and I to pray. With urgency and intensity. I need more scriptures. What you bind on earth, then it's bound in heaven. What you loose on earth, then it's loose in heaven. There are angels all around you in this room waiting for you to dispatch them, waiting for you to pray the will of God, waiting for you to declare the promises of God so they can ascend into heaven and bring back the answer for you. Come on, let's have a praise break, okay? Give us this day our daily bread. That's provision. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've hurt us. So if I'm in unforgiveness, my prayers won't be answered. If I'm mad at my ex-wife, ex-husband, last job, last church, pastor, mother, father, brother, sister, boss, if I'm holding a grudge, my prayers won't be answered. So there's a time when we pray of confessing, right? Of confessing our sin, knowingly or unknowingly, getting clean. Before we ever come with a petition. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. John 15:7, look at the screen. John 15:7, now here's a big idea I want to leave you with today because we're running out of time, and that's this, and a lot of people miss it. Don't miss it. You guys are smart. You're thinkers. Listening comes before talking. In prayer, it's a two-way street, right? Listening comes before talking. You know, we get up in the morning. I'm an early riser. I get up 5:30, 6 o'clock every day. I'm an early riser, and I like getting up, making coffee, and getting everything ready for Pastor Kim, and I walk my dog, 1 year Bible, have my prayer walk, come back, and as I'm moving around the kitchen, Pastor Kim says, come over here and sit down at the kitchen table. I say, okay, I will. Come, just come down. I just want us to talk. Okay, Pastor Kim. So I'll get my coffee, and I got her coffee, and I go sit down, and she says she wants to talk. But really, she wants me to listen. Oh, it got quiet in this place. Really, she just wants my time. She just wants me to listen to her. That's what God wants. Before we ever start talking and petitioning and begging and wanting and pleading and wondering why, he just wants us to listen to him. Well, Pastor, I'm trying. How do I hear God? It's called B-I-B-L-E. That's the password. Bible. God talks to us through his Bible. God talks to us through Scripture. As I'm teaching and preaching, God's talking to many of you. The Word of God is the Word of God. It's God-breathed. So that's what I mean by listening before I'm asking, listening before I'm talking. That if I'll just listen or get in the Scripture, renew my mind, a Bible reading plan, start reading the Bible. You know, I got challenged, Daniel and I and Tamara and our family. We heard some national preacher said, we read through the Bible. He said, I read through the Bible once every quarter, the whole Bible. I thought, wow. And then this national known preacher, you know who he is. He said, you know who taught me to do that? Marilyn Hickey. Marilyn Hickey said that if I really want the anointing and if I really want to hear God talk, then read through your Bible entirely once a quarter throughout the year. Boy, that challenged me. So then Daniel said, Dad, I found it. I found it on the 1-year app. You can go through the Bible every quarter. So not only my 1-year Bible, I signed up for that because I want to listen to him talk to me through his word. So then I'll know what to pray for and not what to pray for. You see, you got to know his will before your prayer will work. I got to spend time listening to him. He talks to us through Bible reading, through us meditating on the word, getting a rhema from a logos. He talks to us through. So if we'll spend a little time in the word every day, then we'll know how to pray more accurately. We won't pray with the wrong motive. We won't pray amiss. We won't pray out God's will. Can I have a witness in the house? Okay, so look, if you abide in me, That means if you make your abode and make your home in me, you're not visiting on Sunday. But if you live and walk with me every day, remember Pastor Kim and I, it wasn't until we were walking together we had fellowship. And he's saying here, if you abide in me, here's the condition, precondition, before prayer, before asking. If you walk with me, if you just walk with me, then you're going to want to pray. If you just walk with me and listen to me and let the word build your inner man, let the word bring faith, let the word bring perspective, let the word bring hope, let the word bring his love and his peace. Just walk with me. If you abide in me, that's a precursor to petitioning. Just abide, just walk with me. Then he says, family, and my words, that's the Bible, the scripture, are abiding in you. Now, that's before you ever ask. And so when you're in the Word, you're listening. You're getting correction, adjustment. You're getting fine-tuned. You're receiving forgiveness. You're receiving adjustment, correction with an attitude, an association, a relationship, a habit, a sin. You're getting fine-tuned. You're walking with Him, but then you're listening to Him by in your Word, in the Bible, in the Scripture. And here's what I know. I've been doing this all my life. This is what I do. And I've heard a lot of people pray incorrect prayers. And then they wonder why God doesn't answer their prayer. Everybody say, long ago. Oh, yeah, long ago on the North Campus back in the late 80s. Okay? And one of the ushers, now we don't have any ushers like this today. But one of the ushers came up to me over there at Church on the Rock in the late 80s. Sitting under my ministry for years. Usher, and he comes up to me after one service and said, Pastor, would you agree with me in prayer? I said, well, what can I agree with you for? He said, I believe God's telling me that I'm to marry so-and-so's wife and divorce my wife. So the dude's married, and he wants another guy in the church to drop his wife and marry his wife. I know immediately, thou shalt not covet. That's dumb and dumber. And been sitting under my ministry for, where was he having coffee with the usher's room during the service? I mean, how stupid can you get? Guess what? I didn't agree with him. I corrected him and he got mad and left the church. Bless his heart. So that's what I'm saying. We got to know what the word says, and that's listening to God so we can pray biblically. It's called covenant praying. Covenant praying. Old covenant, new covenant. Taking scripture, the word, the will of God, and we're praying it. It's covenant praying, and it will not return void. It will accomplish what it's sent out to do because you're praying the word. You're praying the will of God. So he says, first of all, his relationship. Then he said, I got to get in this book. I got to know the scriptures. I can't be biblically illiterate. And then he said, finally, he said, ask. Now you can ask. Listening before asking. Wow. Listening before asking. And then he said, ask, and look at this, what you desire. Right there, Pastor. God is not going to give you anything you desire. He will if your mind is renewed to his word and you delight yourself in him and he gives you the these guys are more spiritual than y'all over there. The Bible says this in Psalm, y'all. Delight yourself in the Lord as the team comes out and he will give you the desires of your heart. That means he takes his desires and places them in your heart. So you won't ask wrong. You won't ask amiss. You won't be off target. You will be on spot every time you pray. And every time you pray, you'll get results because you're covenant praying. You're praying the word. You're praying the will. You've listened to him. You know how to pray. You know what to pray for. You know what to resist. You know what to receive. Am I helping anybody? And it will be done for you. I'm out of time. If I've helped you, I'll give the Lord a big thank you for the word today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes? And everybody online, everybody here, for sake of time, I just want to pray a corporate prayer. I want to point you to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher. He's the giver and the builder of our faith. The life, the abundant life. You're here, you're online, and you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you grew up in church, but you don't have a relationship. Maybe you've gone to church and you were church hurt, but now you've come back. It's time to reset your life and recommit and rededicate. But wherever you're at, I want you to know God is for you. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. God is not angry at you. God is not pushing you away. He's waiting for you to come. He's standing at your heart's door knocking. Let me in. So we're going to pray a corporate prayer right now. It's in Romans chapter 10. And we're going to lead you to Christ. And we're going to pray not to religion or institution or an organization, but we're going to lead you to Christ, Jesus, who died for you, who went to the cross, who shed his blood, who had the crown of thorns, the stripes on his back, the spear in his side, the nails in his feet and his wrist. He went to the innermost parts of the earth and defeated death, hell, and the grave. Rose on the third day at the right hand of the Father, and the Bible says he's interceding for you and me. You say, Pastor, that's me. Church, let's all pray it out loud. Here we go. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we look up Church on the Rock and celebrate with heaven?
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.